CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com on a Monday morning. Leanne Mull, Sia Sangweni, and I are here to look after you today, start your week off properly. And it is a short week because Friday is a public holiday. Friday is Good Friday. It's Easter coming. I saw the Easter eggs in the shops from January, pretty much. So if you're a big chocolate fan, this is also a good time of year for you. And if you are religious and Easter is your most important Christian holiday, then you need to know that the churches want you there, but they don't want you there, if you know what I mean. That's kind of the mixed message that we're getting from the South African Council of Churches. But I suppose you've got to speak to your own priest, your own church, your own religious leadership, and find out whether or not you're welcome at the church for Easter. We don't want to turn it into some excuse for the government to clamp down on us again for whatever reason. Although I've got to say that there were reports in the newspaper that I did buy on Sunday, the Sunday Times, I haven't done that for ages, about how everybody in authority and in the medical fraternity is saying there's very, very little chance of a third wave. So if you're worried about that and you're paranoid and you're nervous, then that's something to consider, that everyone, including the outgoing czar of COVID in South Africa, Professor Karim, is saying that there is no need for a panic. In fact, our numbers are coming down quite nicely, infection rates right down, and we should be on our way out of this very, very soon. They're trying to roll out vaccines a lot faster, but, I mean, you know, this is not a government that's very good at delivery, so let's not hold our breath.
So some of the medical aides have started sending out information regarding when you are most likely to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And obviously they're going to start, they have started with medical staff. The next is people over the age of 60.
Right.
Then it is people with comorbidities. And my question was, how will they know? And I think they look at
how will they know?
Exactly. Apparently, they look at your chronic medication.
Okay.
So I'll probably be getting it with the 60-year-olds.
Yeah, you will, because you've got a lot of chronic medication, don't you?
Yeah. So it's all about comorbidities and that sort of thing. Young, fit, and healthy people will be the last to get it, and I'm reckoning, looking at the timelines, it might only be towards the end of the year or even in the beginning of next year.
Well, while we're on COVID, and I really tried to not talk about this every day because I know that people are sick of it. It's now a year on, and you know, it's become the most boring thing that someone can talk to you about at a dinner party, or if you bump into them at the shops or whatever. No one wants to talk about COVID, but Leanne, you've got something to say about those masks, those RoboCop face shield type things. You don't like those. You think that's over the top?
Oh, no. That's me.
Is it you, Sia? Okay, I thought it was Leanne.
Do you know the type of masks I'm talking about?
Those ones that they strap into, you strap on your forehead and it comes across your whole face. It's like a visor.
Shield, yeah.
And there are those that are transparent and mm-hmm. that just wrap around the face. I sort of get those. Or there are those that are attached to what look like frames for normal glasses, right? Those are very standard. Mm-hmm. There's a new type of style that I think people think are very cool.
Oh, yeah?
That look very much like that RoboCop character. They're a little bulbous and some have a bit of a color to them. Like some have a shade of pink or a shade of red or a shade of blue.
I haven't seen
you look these. Ridiculous.
I haven't seen these. Maybe you've been.
My gosh.
Try and find a picture for us.
Yeah, this is very, very strange. I've seen the face visors. I love those people who've got a mask and then they've got the face visor in front of that. And, you know, someone has told them that viruses are extremely big and can be stopped by those two things. It's just crazy.
Because you also just look so silly, in my opinion, mm-hmm. with those face shields in general, because you end up like fogging up the screen. you're speaking so much, well, and then you have this mist and condensation.
Oh, it's one of those.
Yes, those ones, Leah.
Oh, Jesus. Ugh. That's terrible. Oh, my God. So it looks it looks like a big bubble over your face, and it's colored as well. So it's tinted. So it looks like it looks like a pair of sunglasses that have suddenly been on steroids and grown all the way down to your chin.
Yeah, this is going to become a trend. Oh, God.
No, it won't.
Already is, unfortunately.
If you want to try and Google them, I'll just share now. It's on. You can get them on bidorbuy.co.za for R225, 100 available.
What do they call them?
New protective full face shield guard, full cover visor glasses, oh, ombre oversized sunglasses, mask, gosh, PPE. They name it after what you might search for.
Listen, I walked into, where was it yesterday? I was at the shop. So it one of those garage shops, and I walked in and then I suddenly realized I didn't have my mask. And then I realized, like, hang on, there were two or three other people in the shop who weren't wearing their masks. So I just went in, I had to buy like milk and the newspaper. So it was quick. So I didn't even bother and nobody complained. I don't think this mask thing is going to last very much longer. I think it's ridiculous. It's paranoia. If you don't feel, especially if you feel that you're not sick, if you feel that you might have had this already, if you've been vaccinated, you certainly shouldn't be wearing a mask. If you've been vaccinated, it's stupid to wear one. And it's not your responsibility to look after everyone else's anxiety. It really isn't. I think that this has got to end at some point. It's getting ridiculous. I think any mask makes you look ridiculous. Even the normal ones that everyone's wearing, that I wear. It's ridiculous.
Look, I'd rather mask up and wear three fabric masks than to do one of those silly face shields. Goodness
I've been grateful for the mask for a number of reasons. And some of the lighter ones are that I can mouth my shopping list to myself without anyone seeing. So I can go bread, milk, apples, cider. Bread, milk, apples, cider.
Right.
And the other thing is I can also sing along to the tune with no voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and nobody knows.
And no one knows. And the other thing is, as I found out yesterday, when I went to the bottle store, I got stuck in the queue behind a homeless man who was so old, he was the shape of a question mark. Mm-hmm. His blue jeans were brown from dirt and shit. Mm. And he had gathered enough coins to buy one beer. I mean, I felt really sorry for him, but he stank. Woo!
And you can only imagine and his breath.
I was 6 feet away from him, but wow, I was heaving away and I was so grateful I had the mask on so no one could see.
Don't you dare do it now. Don't.
If you want to understand how stupid this whole mask thing is, then just look up YouTube videos, go online and Google microscope on used face mask, and see what kind of shit's crawling around in there. And you will very quickly realize, it's not doing you very much good, honestly. Anyway, so we'll leave that alone because I've just had enough of it. And I know everybody's got opinions, but I did see someone on TV last week and he was wearing a mask and he had glasses on and his glasses were steamed up. You couldn't, see his
eyes. Oh my gosh, it's been the bane of our lives for glass wearing
people. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Really? Yeah. It's like even dangerous when you're driving or, you know, handling something that, you know, it's such a mess.
So this is good news.
How?
Carl says that the ship is...
How do you do it?
The ship has been freed. Sorry. The ship that's blocked the Suez Canal has been freed. They finally managed to dislodge it.
Yes.
And
that's breaking news. Just happened.
God. Thank goodness for that.
And, well, it's still going to affect us in some way because... What's happened is because of the backlog of ships, they've sent a lot of them to South Africa.
Yeah, sent lots of them around the Cape.
So they're not going to, this problem's not going to go away for a while. I mean, we know how slow ships are. Mm. So we'll still be feeling the effects and our ports will be feeling the effects of it for a while.
Have you ever been at a traffic accident and you decide, oh, I'm going to go the other way and then like moments after you've decided to go the other way, it opens up and you're like, oh, what an idiot I am. I could have just, if I just waited. Yeah. Imagine you were one of those ships who was right behind this guy and you were like waiting for, how many has it been, 7 days or whatever it is now.
You waited for one, after one day you thought, let me turn around. Mm. And then you said, no, they should sort this out soon. Yeah. And you did that every day for 7 days. And on day seven, you made your U-turn and it flipping cleared up.
That's exactly when it clears up. That's what happens. Oh my God. Unbelievable. Andre says, I'm always amazed why many criminals don't bother wearing masks. That's a whole other thing. But it's amazing how many people are attached to these things now. They've got, like you see in everybody's house, and I don't know how many people you've been visiting during lockdown, but everybody at the entrance or the exit, somewhere near their front door, they've got either a little bowl with a whole lot of masks in it, or yes, there are a whole bunch of them in the car or whatever. You know, people have now, we've it's almost become like a feature of our lives in terms of where we live and where we go.
I have a decorative wooden box, which I wasn't using for anything before. And in there go a whole lot of masks, whether they're the one day only types or, you know, fabric ones. Mm. But it was such a big mistake because I grabbed a mask out of one of them, went to the shop and realized that because I've never used or opened the box, it smelt of paint.
Oh,
so I had this hectic paint smell in my mask. Not the ideal. Whole time. I had to throw it away and buy new ones.
Yeah. Well,
I need to take a photo of my mother's collection when I'm next at home. My goodness, she has a mask for every occasion. And I think she's just gone a step too far. Most people either wear those very simple ordinary surgical ones, but she has such a wide array of these fabric masks, a shwe shwe one, a blue shwe shwe one, a green shwe shwe one, a beige one, a black one, a powder blue one. And I'm thinking, why? You know, there's a color, like if you just get a white mask, it will go with anything. But she's become that person now with this whole, she has a camo one and it's too much.
Well, here's an email from Build to Grow. She says, living in London for 3 years now, it's so refreshing to hear things, and she's obviously talking about our show, hear things said so honestly with no apology. The English is so PC and soft on freedom of speech, it is crippling. I'm marrying an English woman, but I still struggle that the majority of English people feel I'm too polarized and frank with my opinions. Maybe I am, but when I speak to South Africans, I fit in properly. The soft, coddled PC English are infuriating. Keep going. I love the show. So there's some people in England who are enjoying what we do. So that's very, very cool. Thank you very much.
Another thing for us to be grateful about today, about being South Africans.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, they've got all kinds of opinions flying around at the moment about the lockdowns, which are coming in to play again. I don't think any country's got it right, frankly. It seems to me that all of them have made mistakes along the way. And this is what happens when you trust governments. If you just let people decide for themselves, then they can decide the level of risk they want to take on. And if they don't think about it or they're too stupid to know how to take on a certain level of risk, then, you know, let the disease teach them a lesson, frankly. I don't know why we have to mollycoddle and baby everybody. Parents should be able to decide for their kids what's right. You know, churches should be able to decide for their congregations what's right. Do it at a smaller local level and let the governments carry on with making sure that the hospitals are running properly and everything else. Make national mask mandates. Bullshit like that. So over it. Can't believe we're still talking about this a year later.
Well, I don't want to call it complete BS, but I know fewer and fewer, if not no people at all anymore, who are living in a state of absolute panic or unrest or, bubbles. You know, bubbles were a thing. Oh, no, this is just our bubble. Because, if I'm frank about people around me, myself included.
Stop caring.
My bubble is quite the bubble that I used to know and love and experience. Oh yeah, sure. No. I'm just keeping very safe. My bubble is just, oh yeah, my three sisters, my parents, my seven friends, my neighbor, my colleagues, and then also my bubble is just my dog and my neighbor's dog and the person across the street. Yes, that's my bubble. No, that's not your bubble. Those are just the people you used to hang out with.
Listen,
now.
I mean, we've spoken about this so many times during this last year, but really, I think it's time to get back to normal now. I think enough of this nonsense, really. We've all got to start growing up. Stop being such a bunch of pussies. It's enough. I'm over it. I want to get out there and do normal things. And I am. I'm frankly, I don't care anymore. And I think I'm not the only one. I think there are lots of other people who feel the same way. Annette says, I agree. I'm sick of this mask bullshit. See? It's not just me.
I think we're going to be as free as we technically can be, because the governments are still trying to protect themselves. They can't exactly say, actually, as of Wednesday, everyone run around and cough down each other's throats.
Oh, that's true. Well, the government in this country are only interested in the ANC, not the government. So don't worry about them, because they don't worry about you. And don't worry about their rules either, because they can't enforce any of them. They can't even get the police to arrest a former president who is in direct contempt of court. So don't worry about you. I'm sure that you can get out on some kind of a warning if you are caught without a mask, or, you know, you got after curfew, or God forbid anything like that that breaks a terrible rule. Go for it. Break the rules. If we all do it together, then they can't police us all. They can't even police one or two bad politicians. Okay, well, it is a year later, and we've had enough of this morning. I've tried really hard over the last few weeks to avoid these COVID discussions, but let's move on. I'm excited that ship has been freed. That's very, very good news.
Yes.
There's a lot of other stuff happening, though, in the world, and it's worth reflecting on some of those. I saw that Prince, what's his name, of Monaco? What's the dude's name? Prince Albert is Charlene's husband. He came out in support of the in support of the Queen.
Sorry, I just made him sound like our neighbors. Who are you talking about? Oh, Albert. Oh, that's Charlene's man.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, what about him? I didn't even remember his name. So well done to you,
sitting prince.
Yeah. So
it's the penis ring name. We should know
Prince,
it.
Prince Albert. Right. So he came out and supported the Queen against Harry and Meghan. He said that he didn't think that interview was very good, and he thought that it was probably better resolved privately. So he's come out in support of the people who've said that they're not in favor of Harry and Meghan doing that interview, which I thought was interesting, just because he's one of the few other royals in the world who's had something to say about it. And I suppose good for him. Piers Morgan has also been hitting back. He was in the news over the weekend. The Daily Mail, I think, published his whole story, which I can't believe.
I chuckled at that yesterday.
I got sucked into it. So I ended up reading the whole thing before I went to sleep last night, which I wish I cared enough, but clearly I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't have read it. It was interesting because
What did he say?
Well, he just wrote the story from his point of view. So he told like a step-by-step thing of what happened and, you know, who he's still friends with and who he isn't. And he stood up for poor old Sharon Osbourne, who stood up for him. And, you know, he said these people were nice to him. And he listed a couple of WhatsApps and comments that he got from friends. It's just interesting to see. And he did make a point. And I think this is true for any of us, no matter what you do, whether you're in media or you're just a private person. It's interesting to see when you're in trouble, who comes to your rescue and who comes to your aid and to support you, and which people very quietly sidle off into the distance and make themselves less known. And he was just pointing out that the people that he really knew were his friends through this, and the people who he knew were just weak and kind of around him for the wrong reasons. People who smile at you but don't really care. He said those people he knew he wouldn't
I'm
be able
sorry
to
I had to laugh yesterday when I saw that Piers Morgan tweet and a screenshot of the article. I haven't read it, but it was something along the lines of, Piers said, everyone has had their say. and this is now time for me to have my say. Hmm. No, sir, you've had your say. That's what got you into the mess in the beginning. Yeah. What would he possibly say that we have not heard?
I mean, if you're going to look at this just based on the numbers, that show of his, that Good Morning Britain, got its highest ratings on his last day. He has gone to number one on Amazon's bestseller list in the UK with his book. And he's gained something like 100 or 200,000 new followers on social media. Could even be more than that, but that was the number I remember since he left Good Morning Britain. So for him, it's been a great time. And I think ITV lost something like 5% on their share price when he resigned. So now he says his value is something like £250 million if you take 5% of ITV. So he reckons that's quite a good
thing. Oh, my word.
So it's all about peers, you know, as you'd expect. But I think that's quite exciting. So for him, lots of success in a moment where he should have, you know, certainly people tried to make him feel like a failure. But if you look at those numbers, those are the only things that matter.
And now it's official that sexy weatherman Alex is taking his place. Oh. As the co-host of that show. So I wonder what the ratings will be like afterwards.
Tank.
But let's see. I sort of got into the story over the weekend based on what Sharon Osbourne has had to recently say. And it sounds a little woo-woo, in my opinion. She says that her being wrapped up in the saga and her talk show being suspended is all part of a plot that has been going on for years to kick her out. Her show's called The Talk.
Mm. And
it's pretty much a panel show with like four other women. And it airs on CBS, which is the same network where Gayle King does the morning show, the morning news show. And so she says Gayle King specifically was friends with Harry and Meghan for years now to get Harry and Meghan on her side so that they can plot to get Sharon Osbourne off the air. Sharon?
Jeez, that's really a bit of a far reach.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about those stories I told you about how Sharon takes revenge on people if they cross her.
Yes.
Remember those stories that I shared with you the 1 week about how she does things? And
everyone needs to be careful if those are true, because yes, now she's right. Lost her job. She has tons and tons of money
and
she's sitting at home with time and idle hands.
Yeah. I meant to tell you this, so I'm really chuffed. I did all my exercise every day last week, and I've been watching more or less what I was eating. Managed to lose 3 kilograms last week. I weighed myself yesterday, and I was like, "Yes, look at this."
I beat you.
Oh, really, Leanne? Tell me more.
I lost 5.
Jesus, well done to you.
Well, it was over like a week and a half.
But that's really, that's impressive. That's a really, I mean, 5 kilos in a week is a lot.
It was by accident, really.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like going shopping over the last few days and buying ready-made meals. So it was out of a bit of laziness.
Okay.
And I didn't have a lot in the house to eat.
So what did you eat? I mean, what did you have?
Weird things like 2 minute noodles and fish fingers and peanut butter on toast. Uh-huh. Yeah, just no sort of creamy pastas and that sort of thing.
In other words.
Oh, you were eating like a university student.
In other words.
Yes, exactly.
That's good. In other words, we call it the poverty diet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like I would. If I ordered takeout, mm-hmm. I would order from Kauai mm-hmm. and get like a big bowl of vegetables.
I love that
sort of thing.
See, I like eating healthy stuff. It's just a pain to make. So I only go to the shops. I've realized, you know, last year I was going kind of once a week regardless because I thought, oh, I've got to stock up. And, you know, you're terrified of kind of them making a rule where you can't go to the shops or whatever. But really since halfway through last year, I only go to the shops when my milk expires. So if I buy milk and the expiry date is the, you know, 30th of, of March, like tomorrow, then that's the day I'll go to the shops and I'll buy new stuff. But otherwise, I don't. I really have not been. I mentioned earlier, I haven't been clothing shopping. Now I don't even go food shopping unless the milk expiry date's there. Then that's the day. Otherwise, I'll just find stuff. I'll dig out like old packets of something that I haven't made, or there'll be a tin of something somewhere in the pantry, and that's what I'll get by with.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I think that's
what I was doing too. Was like tins of lentils or chickpeas that I hadn't had in a while.
Right.
And it was actually really good. Yeah.
And you also then look around and you go, oh my God, this I can't eat. This is expired like 3 years ago. I better throw that out. Oh yes.
I'm so fussy with expiry dates. There's very little that you'll find expired in my house.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Oof. Like you have five kilos gone in a week. Very, very nice. See, of course, if you lost 5 kilos, you'd fall apart because you are only like
you'd be gone in a week.
No. Yes, exactly.
Basically. No, you know, and it's a legitimate concern, and that's why I maintain my weight with some marshmallows that I had this morning. Yes, you know, so you have to take it very seriously.
What a way to start the day.
I mean, I can imagine nothing worse than having a marshmallow at the beginning of my day. Oy, 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 oy.
I have a bowl of marshmallows, and this morning I was like walking around and just doing some things before the show. I caught myself literally just walking around with a jar going, yeah, this is not normal.
one of the more bizarre things I have done though recently, so I buy the peanut butter that has no sugar or salt in it.
Okay.
So it's literally, it's quite savory actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like something sweet. So I don't have normal sugar in my house either, but I had some icing sugar. So I mixed some icing sugar into the peanut butter jar.
Oh my God, no. What is it?
Yeah, that?
I hate to sound really ignorant about this, but what's the difference between icing sugar and sugar, except that it's much finer?
That's it.
Is that
it? It's just finer.
So it's just powder instead of being the granules.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
You can actually make your own icing sugar from normal sugar just by popping it in a blender.
Or using a mortar and pestle.
Yes, that would take a little longer, but yes.
Hey, I'm old school that way. All right, let's talk about something that'll inspire you, I think, today to get your week started on the right note. Now, in the midst of a huge amount of negativity, there's a young guy who is trying to make a difference in his community by committing to walking for 27 days from Johannesburg to Cape Town. That is a long ass way. He's going to raise funds for education and upliftment projects, and his name is Onke Vulindobo Sithwayi, and he is with us this morning. We're going to talk to him, find out more about him and why he's doing this. So first of all, Onke, nice to meet you. How are you doing this morning?
Hi guys, good morning. Nice to meet you too.
Good.
I'm happy to be here with you.
So why do you have to suffer for people to give us money? I mean, let's get some money for you anyway. You don't have to do this walk. If we can get enough money for you this morning, you can cancel the walk, huh? How about that?
I don't think I would, man. I don't think I would, even if people would give me the money. Because for me now, it's more of a mental challenge for me. So I'd rather go out there and walk than stay indoors and stress about everything that's going on. So it's more of it's therapeutic for me.
So you've already done this walk, right? I mean, you did it in January, so we can't even help you if we wanted to help cancel it so that you didn't have to. You've already done it, right? You did it in January.
Yes, we do. I did it with a friend of mine in Jan. We went to Eastern Cape. It was very, very challenging. And the thing is about this one, the distance that I'll be traveling would be double the distance that I took to get to Eastern Cape.
So who did you choose as a friend to go with you on that long walk? Because I don't know if any of my friends wouldn't start to irritate me after a few kilometers. I mean, how do you choose the friend?
I just started telling people. And at first, to be honest with you, he thought I was crazy. He said, nah, man. Because in most cases, whenever you think of an idea, I don't know if it's a mental thing, we always go to the negative things that could happen. Because sure. He started saying, oh, what if you get robbed? Where are we going to sleep? All those things. And I told him, I said, my king, I don't know. One thing I know is that I have to do this thing for my community. Because if I don't do it, who will? Because my community is far away from the city. It's, it's very far away. So at the end of the day, I think what I was trying to do resonated with his parents, and then he decided, you know what, man, let's do this thing.
So, okay, let's do this. Let's just talk about your community for a second. Where are you actually from? And I know you're trying to raise money for them to get educational equipment, but tell us about the place you're from.
I'm from Eastern Cape, in a village called Elliotdale, or in Xhosa it's called Xhosa. It's 100 kilometers south of Amthatha. It's along the coast.
Mm.
It's very far away from Amthatha. So even when for you to get there, you use gravel road. So we don't see there's a lot of foundations that exist today. There are a lot of good people who are doing this today, but these people, they don't reach on my village. So it's very far away. It's a secluded village. So for me, I thought if no one is going to come to us, at least let me go to the people and start sharing them and start showing them the things that are lacking in my village. Because I believe it's my responsibility. For me to be here, someone had to sacrifice his or her life for me to be here. For me to get the education that I got, someone had to sacrifice. So I'm just following in the footsteps of the people that came before me.
Well, it's really, really interesting that you're doing this. And I think it's great that you've got a cause that you care about and that you can help other people. But it is sad that there are places in South Africa that really are so off the beaten track, and that there's just no assistance for people who live in those places. And really, there isn't much of a future unless they can get a really good education and get out. So what's your your story? You were born there, and what have you been up to in your life? Like, tell us your story since you were a small kid in this Elliotdale place.
I was born and raised there. I spent 46 days in the mountains there. That's when I became the man.
Right.
I went to school there. The thing is, when I was young, I was fortunate enough that my parents were working. My mother was a nurse and my mother was a police. So I used to see my friends going to school without shoes. And there's what I will do, I will try, whenever I leave home, I'll try and take off my shoes so that I can just walk up with it. But sometimes I'll be the only one with shoes. Even with classes, you find out, but the school is here. We go there in the morning, we do the morning prayer, but there are not enough classes. So we'll have to walk 10 to 15 kilometers to go and for a classroom. Maybe there's a family member, a community member who has borrowed the school a space for the school. So that thing used to happen when I was growing up. I used to experience all that. But now, I think 5 years back when I went back home, I saw the same thing happening. I even took a picture of the kids studying under a tree.
Mm-mm.
And it's not safe for them to stand on a tree. And where I come from, it's very windy because we're close to the beach.
Mm.
So anything could happen.
Yeah.
You see young kids, maybe 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, going to primary school. Those kids should be in a preschool.
Yeah.
So I think those are the things. When I saw those things, I said, man, when I was growing up, I used to experience all these things, man, and nothing has changed ever since. So that's why it was important for me to take a stand and say, I have to, because every time I go back home, I see these things.
Okay, I mean, I'm just trying to imagine what it's like in those communities. But if it's a rainy day, for example, and you don't have shoes and you have to walk, 15, 20, even 30 kilometers to school, that's impossible. Most people just won't go to school on those days, right? If it rains and you can't study under a tree if it's raining.
You can't. And when it rains, sometimes the bridge, the rivers, they get full, and some students, they can't go to school maybe for a week because they can't cross the river. So they have to wait for a week. And even with textbook, you find out, but there's one textbook for 5 kids.
Yeah.
And those kids are staying 15, 20, 30 kilometers apart. So they have to share that textbook.
Unbelievable.
So there's a lot that's going on in my community. So the work, I'm trying to use the work as a voice to bring attention to my community.
I think this is so great. You know, the thing that really impresses me about you is, like, you're taking responsibility. You're not waiting for someone to come and save you, and you're trying to help. I suppose, in a community where there really aren't that many people who have too many advantages, you see yourself as quite privileged, and you're going to go out and do what you can. I think it's incredible. So you managed to raise 9,500 rand through donations on that first link, but we can help. Yeah. How can we contribute to your walk and to you doing this to raise awareness and to bring some money in? How can we help? Where can we go? Is there a website?
No, there's a link. There's a link. Actually, Beckerbody, there's an app called Beckerbody. So they helped us with a link that people can use to donate. It's actually easy. It's like doing an online shopping.
Right.
So you can get the link. You can get the link on our social media. So if you follow us at Dream Out Loud SA on Instagram, you'll find the link on our bio. Even on Facebook, Dream Out Loud SA, you'll find the link on our bio. It's there. Or to make things easy for you, you can even contact us. Send us a WhatsApp on 067-09-55-366. If you send us an email, we can also send you the link to make things easier for you.
I'll tell you we'll also post the link attached to this on the podcast. So on cliffcentral.com, we'll post all of those links so that you shouldn't have any problem finding the stuff that Onke is talking about right now. So how long is this walk of yours, dude? You're going to do what, Johannesburg to the Eastern Cape to Dutiwa, huh?
No, that was the last one. This one, I'm going to Cape Town now.
Oh my God!
I want to visit Robert Island.
You're walking. Now, all right. What do you do? Where do you sleep on the way? Where do you actually stop?
We've been fortunate enough to be sponsored by Isuzu and Celsi on our previous walk, and on this walk too, Isuzu is sponsoring us again with a car. And the nice thing about it is, he's giving us the same car they gave us last time. So what we normally do on the road, I have a crew on the car which carries refreshments, which documenting the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So what they normally do, they would drive 10 kilometers ahead and wait for me, and then now. Every time when I catch up to them, I'll get some refreshments, and then they drive again another 10 kilometers. So I think for the remaining kilometers, that's when they go ahead to the next town to go and look for accommodation for us.
Okay.
And the nice thing that has happened on the last trip is that we only paid for one accommodation.
Oh wow!
It was only for camping.
That's amazing.
It was only for camping. Yeah. And the next accommodation, Free State was good to us. They were giving us free accommodation. We experienced the spirit of Ubuntu from all races, white, black, whoever we came across. The minute we explained to them, this is what we're trying to do. We even had meals with families.
That's amazing.
And the thing is, we're the only ones wearing masks because these people are staying in farms. It's like they didn't even know about COVID. We're having meals with them. And on the table, we're the only ones wearing masks. It got to a point where I got uncomfortable. Then we decided to take them off because these people were living their lives.
I'm interested, though. How many kilometers can you cover in a day? I mean, you say that the bucky goes like 10 kilometers in front of you, but how many Ks are you doing in a day?
This time around, I have to do 50.
So you're...
Okay. I have to do 50 kilometers.
Every single day.
I have to. That's why I even stopped eating meat. I stopped drinking milk. I stopped eating, consuming sugary products. So I've been detoxing. So I've been taking care of my body. So I trust that my body will take care of me on the road. Mm. And your guys are positive messages. Also sending positive messages.
I'm sure positive
voice notes. They would go a long way.
I do love this. I love it because this is really not about you. You're putting yourself out there, and I'm sure walking through the country is one hell of a way to advertise that these kids have to walk every day. Some of them have to walk like 30 kilometers a day, as you mentioned earlier. So let's look at this as an example for the rest of us to follow. I love it. Thank you, Onke.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
This is big for us. This is big, big for us. So thank you for having us.
No, great to have you on, and good luck with your venture. We'll make sure that we post the links on cliffcentral.com, and we'll see if we can get some support for you.
Okay, thanks. Everyone can follow us on Dream Out Loud SA on Instagram. So that's where we will be going live every morning. So I'm even trying to challenge people, those who want to be involved virtually. I'm trying to do, maybe I can challenge them to do jumping jacks or skipping rope for the first 27 minutes in the morning while I'm running, because there will be a lot of running on this trip, especially in the morning.
So it's Dream Out Loud SA. Dream Out Loud SA. Okay, got you. Dream Out Loud SA. Here it is. I can see it now. It's got that same logo that Onke's got in his shirt. It's an outline of Africa. Yeah, and you can see He's walking. There's lots of great footage here of you doing your walk. And it's happening from the 1st until the 27th of April, which is, of course, Freedom Day. And you're going to Robben Island. So will you be on Robben Island for Freedom Day?
I hope so. That's the place. I would love to.
Very special. All right, man. Have a good day. Thanks so much. And good luck with your walk.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. Thank you, Onki. Isn't that cool? I love that there are people who they're not waiting for someone to do something for them. They get out there and they do it themselves. And they're not even doing it for themselves. They're doing it for other people. It's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. The more stories like that, more stories like that I hear, the better I feel. Honestly, it's just terrific.
But as Onka is talking about walking 50 kilometers every day, I'm just thinking about the fact that, you know, now that I order so many things for delivery here at home, it's easier. You know, our complex is quite large, and once the delivery guys are outside, some of them get lost. So sometimes it's just easier for me to walk to the gate and flag them down. There's a bit of a hill leading up to our main gate, and even that's too much for me. So I walk to the bottom of the hill, and then I'm like, hey, waving from the bottom, like, hey, you can drive out.
See, how far is it from your front door to the gate? Like 500 meters maybe at a stretch? 100? Not even.
Wait. Yeah, let's say like 300 meters.
Yeah, whenever I have to guess distance, I always remember the 100-meter sprint at school. And then I use that.
Yes, I do the same. Or 400 meters once around the field.
Right, the way around the field, right, 400 meters. So that's how I think of distance. And, you know, 50 Ks a day, that's a long way. That's basically from the center of Pretoria to the center of Johannesburg, more or less. Well, let's say Sandton. So from Sandton to the center of Pretoria, or from Midrand to the middle of Johannesburg. That's how far it is every single day. That's a long way to go. That's really, really tough.
I mean, I ran a 10K race once into the city at night. And the build-up to this thing was incredible.
Leanne,
training that I had to do.
You ran 10 kilometers?
That was when I was kind of at my peak and doing stuff and getting out and running every day.
That's impressive.
But yes, I did. And I did it in a good, you know, a good time for somebody who wasn't an athlete.
I ran 3 kilometers against it was a thing Adidas wanted me to do. It was me, because I said, like, girls can't run as fast as guys or whatever. And they challenged me. They said, we're going to put you in a race with like 50 girls. And if you don't at least come halfway, then you're a complete loser and you'll have to admit that you're a loser. And I said, cool, I'll do it.
Oh, my Lord.
And it was only 3 kilometers. 3Ks is not a long way to go. I mean, most runners and cyclists will laugh at me and say that's pathetic. But the fact is, I did it, and I was so out of breath and so broken by the end of it. I think I came like 12th or whatever, which is no impressive feat, because 3 kilometers isn't far, and I was running against amateurs, not professionals. I wasn't embarrassed by the result, but man, when I got to the end of 3 kilometers, I was finished. it took me half an hour to recover. So if you ran 10, that's very impressive.
And I mean, it was a big thing for me.
We do have people who run like, you know, 40 Ks a day. You get these people, and Bulelo runs like 20 Ks in a morning or whatever. So there's some lunatic people out there. And this dude is just a great example, because he's willing to do this, even though he's not doing it like, you know, to get attention. He's doing it for the little village he comes from. I think it's marvelous. Very, very nicely done. Anyway.
Serious motivation, man.
The furthest you've run, CS, through the airport, right? When you're late for your plane.
No. I've done 10Ks once, and that was with a friend of mine, and who's slightly chubby and self-admittedly. And she was loving the fact that I was dying at the end of this, or towards the end of this. And she goes, see, and people would think you'd be better at this than me. But by, you know, she's 6Ks, 7Ks, I'm already talking to Jesus, like, Jesus, take me now.
Exactly.
Actually, I've had a great life. I can't see the end. My water bottle was done. And I thought, oh, here it is now. This is how my life will come to an end. That's a lot for me. It's too much.
Yeah. Well, here's a point from LB. He says, I hope he has a physio to travel with him because he's going to be in a lot of pain. 50Ks is more than... It's a marathon a day, basically. You know, someone says that's as long as the car.
And obviously, you know, like he said, he's going to do some running in the morning, so that'll help. But walking 50Ks, so let's say he runs for 20 or 25, the other walking will take much longer, obviously, than if he's running.
Jeez.
No, just... And 27 days, that's basically a month straight of walking. Of doing this.
It's mad. It's madness. He's going to be like lying in bed every night shaking. I mean, listen, if I do, 50 squats in the morning as part of my exercise routine, I can't walk down a flight of stairs. So I don't know how he's going to manage. But then, listen, I'm not a great example when it comes to like fit people. All right.
Also, just keeping your pleasing personality. Gosh, I don't want anyone near me for that long.
Oh, no. So let's say
I lived until I was 80. It still wouldn't be enough years for me to walk once to Cape Town.
No, I know. It's ridiculous. I said some things on Wednesday, I think it was, about women's sport, which Ben and Bulelo both messaged me about separately to say I'm absolutely full of shit. So the two of them want to come on at some point. So yeah, we've got to get them on to reprimand me and to tell me how stupid I am, which, you know, I'm always happy to hear. So bring them on. We'll get those two on at some point, either together or separately. But Ben was like, oh, you really have to wake up. You're being an idiot. And he explained, he tried to start explaining to me, but I said to him, look, you'd rather just tell me on the show, then everybody else can enjoy the fact that you're lecturing me. So he'll be joining us probably in the next week or two to put me in my place when it comes to that stuff. And remember, if you want to put me in my place, you're more than welcome to do so as well. Argue with us on the messaging. You can send us a WhatsApp on 0797482090 and tell us what you think. If there's some subject that has come up on the show that you are either angry about, inspired by, makes you laugh, makes you think, let me know about it so that we can make the show better and better every time. Carl says he only runs if the bottle store is closing. Oh, man.
And then you have to start reasoning with the security guard who is very, very serious about their job because it is now 6:15.
Exactly.
And they are closing at 6:00. So there is no way that they will let you in.
Yeah. No, 100%. We've got to record a TV show today, Sia.
Gosh, I haven't been to studio. Just 1 week of not being in the TV studio feels like such a long time.
No, it's kind of ridiculous. All right. Well, we will also be back tomorrow morning and every day this week except for Friday, because Friday is a public holiday. And remember that this is an extra long weekend because we've got Friday off and then Monday next week is also a holiday. So for anybody who's planning to get away, that's probably a good time to do it. I've noticed like a lot of people on social media are taking little breaks here, there, and everywhere. And hey, if you can afford it, that's awesome. If you can afford to get away. Sia, what is it like to travel by plane at the moment? Give everybody a little bit of an in on what you have to do. Is it more or less the same as it's always been? You have to wear a mask, obviously, but otherwise it's the same.
Yeah, gone completely back to what we knew was normal, in my opinion. Even going to the airport, you don't even have to sign any forms anymore. It's more verbal declaration when you check in, if you do check in physically. But now they just have these scanners or cameras as you enter an airport that I assume just check out your body temperature.
Right.
And that's just it, really. It was actually that prompted a friend of mine who works in the theater world to get into a bit of a monologue with me. I'm like, I get it, but sorry, don't shoot the messenger, who says, do you understand the fact that now planes are full and people are seated side by side? just doesn't make sense then why people can't go back into theaters and sit side by side and enjoy productions and plays anymore. But yeah, good point. But sorry, I was just traveling so, to go home.
Obviously,
I don't have a lot of power.
But
in
I mean,
this,
see, on the,
yeah,
on the,
I hear what they say.
On the planes, you know, they're not 100% back to normal. So you obviously have to wear the mask on the plane, but they don't serve meals on the plane or anything like that yet, do they?
Yeah, no meals are served. They say if you really, really need it, they can give you some water.
Mm.
But, you know, going to Durban is an hour, so it's really not much of a mission. But there's no social distancing there. So I get what they meant by, yeah, so how can you really justify that? Sorry, no, a theater isn't open because it's the same sort of capacity and space.
Well, you know how much I love the theater, so I'm obviously thrilled that they're closed at the moment. So long may that last. I know that's going to go down really well with a whole bunch of people. Carol says, traveling is eerie. Everything is a ghost town. Nothing is open, no coffee shops, etc. So is the airport itself quite empty? Is it quite still? Are there places open and normal?
Not to my experience. And considering the fact that I purposefully flew on a Saturday evening thinking, you know, usually people travel on a Friday afternoon or a Sunday evening, you know, just to get more bang for their weekend buck. Mm. But there were still tons of people traveling on a Saturday evening and people were busy and people were moving, even driving around Durban. Things are open and things are happening. So I haven't sensed it at all.
I'm relieved to hear it. Listen, don't get me wrong. I don't want things to be different. I want them to go back to normal ASAP. So yeah, I'll be flying for the first time since COVID on Friday. Saturday. I'm flying on Thursday, back on Sunday. So I'm excited about that. Just to check it out, get some firsthand experience. But you've done it like 3 times already. So you're like a past master at this stuff. I've only driven across provinces. Leanne, you haven't been away at all, right?
No, not at all.
Got any plans to stop that at some point and get out there?
Oh, I haven't done it out of choice. It's just been, it's been difficult for me to spend money on things like travel at the moment.
Yeah, no, sure.
I mean, we need to remember I lost my business during COVID.
Yeah.
If I was given the opportunity, I would absolutely take it up and go to Durban or, you know, to a game reserve or something like that. But I haven't had that yet.
Listen, that's a case for so many people. So I think it's not always just a choice. But if you haven't got away, it's nice to kind of break out of cabin fever for a little bit. If you do have the option,
yeah.
I think even if it's a day trip for some of us, hop in the car and just go.
Even just to change scenery and carry on working, that would even be fine. Just to have a different view and, you know, you've got to eat, but go out to a nice restaurant or walk on the beach. I'd love that.
Yeah, I said to some of my friends on Saturday afternoon, I just want us all to go out for a meal that isn't cooked by one of us. You know, go out and actually, but like eat really, really nice, not expensive or fancy stuff, but just really nice food that someone else has made. I'm sick of like homemade stuff and I'm not a particularly good cook either. All right, everybody. That's about all we got time for this morning. We will have to see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. bright and early. Have an awesome Monday and a great start to this nice short week. We will see you later. CliffCentral.com. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.